of an independent payment, but as an acquisition necessarily growing out of the very nature of the work that you will do. For as you help others to learn the truth and gain the possession of this great love of the Father, your own souls will, the Paget Messages 1917, obtain more of the love, and with that increased possession will come increased happiness and a closer atonement with the Father, and this, of course, means rewards beyond all conception of mortals or spirits who have not arrived at the degree of possession of this love that will be yours. So, as I said in the beginning, first place yourselves in that condition which will enable you to free yourself from all worldly cares, and consecrate your body, mind and soul to this great work, and then what follows will be without interference of worldly things. I am glad that I could write you in this way tonight, for I know it will assist you in pursuing the best way to accomplish the mission that has been given you and which at this time no other can take from you. You have been selected for the work and we feel that no mistake has been made. So, believe in us and pray to the Father with all the earnestness of your souls and you will find that which we have told you to be the greatest thing in all the universe, the divine love and nature and immortality of the Father. I will not write more tonight, and with my love and the blessings of the Father, will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. September 27, 1917. I am here, John the Baptist. I merely wish to say that your condition tonight is not such as to permit the high spirits to communicate to you the important spiritual truths which they are waiting to write, and that you will receive communications from your friends of the spirit world upon matters more personal. We have so many messages to communicate that we find the time is hardly long enough in which to do so. And we earnestly hope that you will soon get in condition to receive our messages. Let your mind turn more to the truths which have been revealed to you and to the love of the Father, and you will soon find yourself in a better condition. So, wishing that you will take my advice, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John the Baptist. September 29, 1917. I am here, John C. Carlyle. Well, my friend, I have not written you for some time. Not because I did not desire to do so, but because I have not had 600, the opportunity, for I have been present many times when other spirits were here writing you. I have also been present when you and your friends have talked about spiritual things and have listened with very close attention, and have derived much benefit from thinking of what you have declared to be the truths of the spiritual kingdom. As a consequence, I have progressed very much and am now in considerable light, and have received into my soul sufficient of this love that you talk of, to be convinced that it is a wonderful redeeming influence from the darkness and suffering that I and spirits like me found ourselves in when we came to the spirit world. I know that prayer is a thing that brings its response and I am praying with all my soul, but it is hard to make a complete surrender of my beliefs and to forget the deeds of my life that cling to me with such very great tenacity. While, as you have said in your conversations, and as some of the bright spirits tell me, the true longings of the soul will bring to my soul this love, yet I find it difficult to get these longings so that they are not mingled with the thoughts of earthly things that came with me when I became a spirit. As you know, when on earth I accumulated in my memory a large and varied amount of evil and sin, and when I became a spirit I found it very natural that these memories should be with me and control my thoughts and desires as they did on earth. In fact, they seemed to get rid of some member of my body without injuring the body. So you will see, it is not so easy to have these longings that I speak of, and even if a spirit makes up his mind and will to have the longings, he cannot always succeed. This has been my experience. And I have suffered so very much in consequence of this inability to direct my will to these longings. Intellectually I understand that this is necessary and that the longings, when earnestly possessed, will bring relief and surcease, to bring to an end, from these sufferings, but this intellectual knowledge, I find is not sufficient. The knowledge does not bring the power to will, and the will is controlled by appetites and desires. I know that I must try to control these appetites and desires, but oh, how hard is the task! It is very foolish for men to suppose that they can cultivate and exercise these desires and appetites until a time convenient to them, and then by the mere wish control these desires and have these longings and aspirations come to them so that the help that comes in response to prayer will be theirs. No, They will find themselves greatly, the Paget messages 1917, disappointed, for they will realize that these desires and the results of their indulgences will bind them in bands of iron, that a mere intellectual attempt to sever will not prove efficacious. The spirits who all have this love of which they tell me, teach me that this love is sufficient to bring happiness to me, and that it will come in response to earnest prayer, but they do not tell me that by the sudden exercise of my will I can obtain these true longings, and if they should so teach, I could hardly believe them, for I have had such a will and have attempted to pray, and as I think wanted to be in all earnestness, but still the longings would not come free from the memories of my sinful life on earth, and I find, that I have to continue to pray in order to progress the little that I have progressed. I have no doubt that the love is waiting for me and that I will be enabled to obtain it by the proper condition of my longings, but the trouble is to get the proper longings. It is not so easy to get rid of the effects of evil deeds and evil thoughts on earth, and the mere praying with the mind will not help except such prayers become merged into the prayers of true longings. Well, I realize all this in my own experience and I am praying and longing, and sometimes I feel the true longings, and then comes the response and I progress just that much. I mean in proportion to the strength of these true longings. When men believe that by merely saying that they believe on Jesus Christ or by asking forgiveness of the priests and when absolved believe that they have done all that is necessary, they are mistaken, and if they rest in that contentment, they will find themselves as I was when they come to spirit life. No belief of this kind or absolution by the priests will put them in such condition of memory or soul as will enable them to have these longings of which I speak. You may think that I am quite a preacher, but I am very ignorant of the bulk of the spiritual truth and what I have said is the result of my own experience. Well, I will not write more now, except to thank you and your friends for the opportunities that I have enjoyed in listening to your conversation on spiritual matters. I will not cease to come to you even though I may not be able to write. So with my love and hope that you will pray for me, I am your friend and well-wisher. Good night, John C. Carlyle. October 11, 1917 601. I am here, Mary Kennedy. I wish to write a few lines as I am so anxious to once more come into conscious communion with my soulmate. I heard you read the letters from Helen in reference to your dream, and I want to tell my dear one that what she said as to the soulmate love between you and her applies equally to that love which is existing between Leslie and myself. I am so happy that he understands this, for such knowledge is one that must create a happiness on his part that so very few of the human race understand or have the privilege of enjoying. Yes, our love is one that can never be taken from us, and in all the great eternity it can never change, except to increase in intensity and beauty. Oh, I am so happy when I think that I have a soulmate on earth who knows that he has a soulmate in the spirit world, and that he is trying to develop his soul so that when he comes to me our separation will not continue very long. I am praying all the time that the great love of the Father may fill his soul so that it may become more and more in unison with mine and he realize, even while on earth, that it is possible to approach closer and closer to my condition of development. When he believes this, as I know he does, he is not dreaming but is believing an actual truth that nothing in all God's universe can change, and only he himself can postpone its fulfillment. Isn't it all wonderful that our Father should have made such provisions for poor, little, insignificant mortals, when all around are the wonderful manifestations of his power and greatness? But while we are small and many, yet to the Father, our happiness is the greatest care that there is in all his creation. The earth and the stars and suns may pass away and cease to exist, but that one little spark of soulmate love will never cease to exist, no, not through all eternity, and we, who have this love, when joined in unity will live and know that as to it, the decree of the Father is that it shall never die, but in all the long ages grow brighter and deeper and more like the love of the Father. I am happier tonight than I can tell you of, and my love for Leslie is greater than ever before, and growing all the time, and with this knowledge there comes to me the consciousness that his love is becoming mine to a greater degree than ever. Then why shouldn't we, as a mere personal matter, thank and praise the Father, for his goodness and loving provisions which we have been so specially privileged in receiving, and not only receiving but knowingly. I feel tonight that I could write him. The Paget Messages 1917, many pages on this subject, but I must not consume too much of your time. So let me say, just one word more, whether he is sleeping or awake, I am with him in my love, and enjoying every thought that he sends to me, and only crave that his thoughts of me become more frequent and his desire to have me with him increase and never cease. This may seem selfish, but when you consider that there is none other who can give me this love, and none other who has the love which is a part of me, and which only, outside the Father's love, can make me so supremely happy, you will not think me selfish. Well, I must stop for tonight. But I will be with him and go home with him and remain with him until he goes to sleep, and sometime in the near future, I hope that I may have him come to me again in his spirit as he did before, when we enjoyed an hour of such great happiness and joy. Thanking you and with my love to him, I will say good night. Mary, let me write a line or two. I have been present with you since you returned from the church, and have listened to your conversation. I was with you tonight at the prayer meeting and heard what the preacher, Dr. Gordon, said, and was particularly interested in his ideas about the coming of the great world teacher, and saw that his idea of what constituted greatness in this particular, arose from his estimate of human greatness. The teacher will not be a great preacher or a magnificent specimen of physical development or a man with a wonderful voice, but a man who can reveal to the world the truths of the Father, regarding the relationship of man to the Father and the plan provided for the redemption and reconciliation of man to the Father. It is a fact, and I know whereof I write, that the regeneration of the human soul is caused more by the quiet meditations of mortals of the truths of the Father and by the silent longings of the soul than by the emotions that arise from the fervid and persuasive sermons of the preachers and evangelists. These latter may arouse the dead souls to a realization of their need of a reconciliation to God, but not so often do these emotions bring the soul into rapport or unison with the Father, as do the silent meditations of which I speak. There must be the true soul longings and aspirations for this love of the Father, and in such cases these longings do not arise from the emotions produced as I have mentioned, and 602. Especially where such emotions are the results of fear created by the picturing of an angry and revengeful God. No, in the silence of the home chamber, where the mortal is, as it were, alone with God, and lets his longings go to the Father for the bestowal of his love, because of the love that the mortal may have for the Father, does this divine love come in response and regenerating power. Only the mortal and God need be alone. Excitement or the magnetism which the preacher may give to the mortal does not create the true longings or aspirations, and for the preacher to suppose that the great world teacher must be a man with this great personal magnetism or with a voice that can cause the feelings of the mortal to vibrate with emotion or excitement, is a mistake. Jesus, when on earth, I am told, never tried to create emotion or excitement in this manner. But his teachings were as the still small voice that enters the soul and draws it to a contemplation of the Father's love in all the power of a soul's longings, hungry and craving. So I say, the preacher's conception of this teacher was not a true one, and besides, while there will be a revelation of the truth, there will be no world teacher, but only a revealer of truths that will be disclosed. The Master, himself, will be the great teacher come again to earth in the form of his revelations. I wish that I could come and proclaim these truths, but I cannot, and only through the instrumentality of a human can my thoughts be made known, and they will not be my thoughts either, any more than will they be the thoughts of the mortal, because what I may attempt to impress upon the minds and consciousness of men will be only those truths that I have learned from the same source as will come the revelations. Of course these truths will have to be preached and taught to men, but this will not be done by any great teacher, but by many preachers who shall learn the truth from what the Master shall disclose, and no man of himself will be able to claim to be the great teacher. The greatest will be those who shall have the most of the divine love in their souls, and the greatest knowledge of the truths. I also heard the preacher say that he would believe in any truths that might be confirmed by miracles, such as were performed in the time of Jesus, the instantaneous healing, etc. Well, you need not be surprised at such a demonstration, for it will surely take place. When a man shall receive in his soul sufficient amount of the divine love, there will come with it to that man a power and, the Paget Messages 1917, knowledge of the laws governing the relation of spirit to material organism that will enable that man to perform these same acts that are called miracles, and further, there will be some who will have that power and will demonstrate the same in confirmation of the truths that you are receiving. The spirits who are now working to make known to man and convince them of these truths, have determined that such so-called miracles shall take place in confirmation of the new revealment. The Master is the leader in the movement and he will not cease to bring about this great demonstration, or rather not cease to work to this end, and he will not fail, if the human agents will follow his leading. Well, I must not write more tonight, but as I am interested in this great work, and saw that the preacher's conception of this great world teacher is incorrect, I deemed it wise to write you as I have, and what I have written is not the result of my individual belief or opinion, but the result of what these high spirits have determined shall come to pass, and back of it all is the will and help of the Father, for in his love and mercy he desires to see all men become his true children and redeemed from the sins and evils of their present human condition. So with my love and as a co-worker I will say good night and subscribe myself, your brother in Christ, George Whitefield. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see that I've had a very happy evening, and it is not to be wondered at, for there were many spirits present filled with the love of the Father and throwing around you their influence. Whitefield also wrote you, and he was very much in earnest in what he wrote, and what he said is true, and you can place the utmost confidence in the truth of what he wrote you. As he said, we all say, the only great world teacher will be the Master, and his teachings will be through the messages that you receive. There will be a great responsibility in disseminating these truths, and thus making known to the world not only the truth but the identity of the great teacher. It is not reasonable for men to believe that any mere man can possibly be such a teacher as the preacher referred to, for only he who has the truth can teach the same, and no man in all the world has this truth, and will not have it, except as he may learn the same from the revelations of the Master. I know that it is difficult for you to believe that this can possibly be, but it is not the miracle, 603, as you call it, for that is the transformation of the human soul into the divine soul, which is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit in its operations. No, the miracle, the great miracle, is the changing of the human into the divine. Good night, my dear husband. Your own true and loving, Helen. October 16, 1917. I am here, Mary Kennedy. Well, I am here, and of course he knows it, and if he says he does not, he is either telling an untruth or is asleep, and I don't believe that he is either. Yes, I am here, and am glad that I can write once more, even only a few words. I am, of course, very happy and have enjoyed the evening listening to your conversation, and especially that part of it when you conversed about the great gift that my soulmate will receive and exercise. I have known this for some time, but was not permitted to disclose the fact, and now that Helen has told him, I am all anxiety to repeat it. Oh, how glad I am that he has been selected for this work, for two reasons: one, that he will be doing the will of the Father, and the other, that when his soul gets in that condition that will enable him to exercise this great power, I know that his development will be such that he and I will be very close together in our oneness, and that we will not have to be separated so very long after he comes to me. What a wonderful blessing this is, and how I thank the Father that he has bestowed this possibility upon my dear one. I will not write more now, as Helen says that you have written enough for tonight. So with my love I will say good night, Mary Kennedy. November 2, 1917. I am here, St. John, brother of James, apostle of Jesus. I come to you today because I see what your condition is and that you need encouragement, and as I am your special guardian I could not abstain from writing you as I have. So I say, trust in the Father and in our help and you will not be disappointed. It has been a long time since I have written you in regards to spiritual things, and I desire very much to do so, as I have important messages to communicate, as have many other spirits who have been accustomed to write you. The Paget Messages 1917. While your material affairs are important, yet these spiritual truths are of more importance, not only to you but to the world for whom they are primarily intended. The world needs these truths more at this time than ever before, and the sooner we can complete our book of truths the better it will be for suffering humanity and for many whose hearts are now lacerated because of the great destruction of human life caused by the war. Well, I know that many believe that in some way God has an overpowering direction as regards the progress and outcome of the war, and in a certain sense this is true, for He is always interested in and seeks to reach the souls and hearts of mankind and, of course, desires that the great suffering and devastation shall cease. But as the cause of all this was the evil desire and ambitions of men, He will let men, themselves, control the conduct and outcome of the war. He will not by His exercise of power in an arbitrary way end the war or determine which of the contending nations shall be successful, except in this, that through the instrumentality of His Spirit, He will influence the minds and consciences of these men in such a way that right and justice will prevail, and the evil thoughts and deeds of men be stopped in their operations. His spirits are working to this end at this time, and have been for a long time, and so have the evil spirits been working to bring discord and destruction upon humanity. The leaders of the nations have been, in a large degree, obsessed by these evil spirits, and have been influenced in many of their thoughts and acts by these dark ones who delight in seeing mankind suffer, and in evil asserting itself. The spirits of truth are exercising a wonderful power over the hearts and souls of men, and one that will cause them to soon realize that evil must not be allowed to prevail and that truth and right must assert themselves, to the end that the war must not only cease, but that men must become more in unison with truth and justice. In this way the Father will answer prayer, and His love will also continue to flow to men. I know that prayers are ascending unto the Father from many men and from many of the churches of the respective contending nations for success, but only those prayers will be answered which tend to bring about the overruling of evil and injustice, and the spirits who are working the Father's will answer these prayers only which in their answer will bring about the desired end. As I have said, while God does not take interest in these matters by His arbitrary power and 604, decree that the one or the other of these warring nations shall overcome and conquer the others, yet, He does by His angels exercise such influence upon the men who are engaged in the struggle, that in the end His will be brought to pass. But men, immediately, must determine the course and results of the issue, and no miracle will be performed which will make one side the conqueror of the other. And while this is so, this determination by men will be influenced as I have stated. Man has his free will and, as we have written you, that is never arbitrarily controlled by the Father, but in the exercise of that free will, whenever man violates the laws of God, man must suffer the penalty of that violation. This is an ever-changing law of the material as well as of the spirit world. When evil is sown, evil must be reaped. And until this evil ceases to operate as a cause, good will not appear. The men who are directing the war must understand that this law is operating in the conduct of the war, and that evil thoughts put into execution will inviolably bring evil consequences. You may look for an earlier determination of the struggle than some men now believe possible, yet ere that end comes many mortals will become spirits and find their homes, some in the darker spheres, and some in those of light and love, but all are the children of God and will not be forsaken by Him in the great eternity. Question: well, you have not been in that condition of mind that has enabled us to make the necessary rapport with you. We must have a mind that is filled with thoughts of the higher things of truth, even though we do not use those thoughts. Our thoughts are all spiritual, and our truths can be received only by the mind in a spiritual condition, and you, lately, have not had so much of this spiritual mind as formerly. Our contact has not been so close, and our rapport, necessary to enable us to express through your mind these spiritual truths, has not been so perfect. And when I say mind, I merely mean the organs of the brain as influenced by the thoughts of the mind, for I will tell you what you may not know, that these component organs of the brain are not always and under all conditions receptive of the same control by the minds of spirits. You may receive through your brain a long and profound message of things pertaining to what you may call the material, and yet under similar conditions of these organs, not be able to receive messages of the higher truths, and the conditions of these brain organs are caused by the condition of the soul in the possession of things spiritual. The Paget Messages 1917. It is difficult for me to express just what I intend to convey, but this you will understand, that upon the development and possession by the soul of things spiritual, depends the capacity of the human brain to receive the various kinds of messages. A medium who is merely intellectual and morally good cannot receive those messages of the highest truths, because there can be no rapport between the brain of such a medium and the mind of the higher spirit who may desire to communicate. And thus you will understand why it is that the messages from the earth-bound spirits or from those who have merely the intellectual development, are so vastly more frequently received by mediums than messages from spirits of the soul development. A spiritual thought, I mean a thought which can come only from a spirit who has the development of the soul that makes that soul divine, cannot possibly pass through a human brain which has never been developed by a soul in which the divine love has entered and worked its regenerating powers. Things of the material may be conveyed through a brain purely material, things moral through a brain which has been influenced by moral truths, and things spiritual through a brain which has assimilated those truths that come only with the development of the soul by love. This is the law of rapport and communication. Well, I will not write more now, but in closing urge you to have faith in us, and let your worries leave you, and pray more to the Father. Goodbye. Your brother in Christ, John. November 6, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I have been with you part of the time as you were reading the different explanations of the various religions, and tried to direct your mind so that you might conceive the difference between the things taught in those teachings and what we are revealing to you. Many things that are set forth in those teachings that are mysteries and the results of speculation will be revealed to you in their true existence and meaning, so that all defects or desiderata that arise because of the insufficiency of these teachings will be corrected and supplied. I am glad that you read these sermons, for they demonstrate to you a number of truths that were known to the ancients but which fall far short of the truth. At those times there was no source from which our truths could come, either in the spirit world or in the mortal 605 world, and hence humans could not become inspired as to the vital truths that we are revealing. The men who appeared as reformers and gave forth the truths that were unknown to their fellowmen were inspired by the intelligences of the spirit world, but that inspiration could not be greater or higher than the knowledge of the spirits by whom these men were inspired. And what I here say applies not only to the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament times, but to those of all the times and among all races preceding my coming to earth and the making known the great truths which were revealed to me by the Father. I noticed that some of these teachers and writers of essays at the great religious gathering attempted to speak of a future or world religion, and their claims were divergent but were based mostly on those foundations that will never support such a religion. They almost entirely based their concepts on principles of morality as understood by them, and the churches based their beliefs on the teachings of the New Testament, which in many and vital particulars are erroneous, especially, the basic one that I am God the Son and that my vicarious atonement and sacrifice must be the touchstone of the future great and ultimate religion. Well, as their claims are not true, it is certain that any religion based upon them cannot be true or lasting. There will be a religion of the future and a comprehensive and final one, and it will be founded upon the truths which you are now receiving, for it will be inclusive of all the other religions, so far as the truths that they contain are concerned, with the addition of the greatest of all truths affecting mortals, the new birth and transformation of the human soul into the divine. When men shall come to make a comparative analysis of these existing religions and the one that I shall make known, there will be very little conflict in the vital principles, and my teachings will only add to the old teachings that which all men can accept. Hence, you see the importance of our working more rapidly in our efforts to disclose and disseminate the truth. I will come in a few nights and deliver another formal message, and others also will come and write you. Many of the celestial spirits are qualified to teach the truths of the Father, and they are ready and anxious to do so. I will not write more now, but with my love and blessings will say, good night. Yes, I am with you as I promised and will continue to be. Your brother and friend, Jesus. The Paget Messages 1917. Your friend, the once, Father Williams. November 8, 1917. I am here, Father Williams. I am the priest that visited your friend, Eugene Morgan, last night, and I was very aggressive and insulting, but now I wish to apologize, for I have learned that he knew a great deal more about things of the spirit world than I thought possible, and more than I knew myself.